And you know I'm on the battlefield. I'll keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give.
Let the church say amen. Amen. We say amen again. Amen. We are blessed to be in the house of the Lord this evening. We are blessed to be on the time side of life. We hope, trust, and pray that God has been good to you, and we know that it is, he has been good for you, good to you by the fact that you are here tonight. We are here to worship God in spirit and in truth because we know that God is worthy of our praise, and you have to want to worship God. It cannot be done out of habit because of somebody brought you, although that may be the case for some of our youth. God is worthy of our attention. And we understand that it is our duty to serve a mighty God. It is not something that we are doing him a favor. God is worthy of our praise. The Bible says God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so tonight we take pride in that fact that we can come from the word of God and praise him as we see the first century church Christians do so. We want to be appreciative to the leadership, as always, for allowing me to be able to come and speak and serve at this great congregation. I want to thank our minister, Brother Gary Smith, for his untiring labor in the Lord's church, who has been an example and a servant all the days of the week. Y'all see him here on Sunday, but he's here pretty much every day out of the week. He does not get very much time off, so we want to be thankful for his sacrifice, and that although he is paid a salary, he's worth way more than what we put in the monetary value. So we want to be appreciative of men like that that want to serve God and be sacrificial of not just himself, but his family. You see Sister KB up here as well, and we were very thankful for the blessing that God has given us. Tonight, I'm not going to hold you long. We're coming from the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, I'll begin reading at verse number 1. Now, when we look at the scripture, we have to understand that there's a reason for and a purpose for which these scriptures are written. And we have to understand that in this context, John was dealing with Gnosticism and Docetism. What is Gnosticism? Gnosticism means that the spirit is good and the flesh is evil. And they were teaching a doctrine around the end of the first century and the second century that you can do whatever you want in your body because the spirit is good and the flesh is evil. This allowed them to be able to do a certain number of things and call themselves still remaining in fellowship with God. And John immediately goes into it. If you notice, there's no intro. There's no prayers. There's no well wishes. There's not even an introduction as to the name of who is the writer. He jumps right into the message. And so we will look at this and we understand that when he does go into the text, he uses perfect tense verbs. Perfect tense meaning that they are present and ongoing, resulting from a continued or completed action. When we look at this, the Bible says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. I want you to see the perfect tense verbs as heard, seen, and touch. What he was also dealing with is docetism, which is a part of Gnosticism, which says that Christ's body was not human, but either it was like a phantom, it was an unreal, but a celestial substance. So therefore, his suffering was only apparent, but not in the real sense of a human being suffering. And so he immediately addresses this by saying, that's which we have seen, that's which we have heard, that's which we looked upon and touched. We touched him. We saw him. We know and we heard. We know that Jesus was real. Though it may have been some years ago. And at this point, it had been over 60 years since his death. That's which we have seen. That's what we have looked upon. We've heard. We've touched. Now I'm asking you tonight. Some of us have family members that have passed on, that we can still hear their voice even tonight. I'm going to ask by a show of hands, how many of you have mothers that have passed away? God bless you. And although she is not here tonight, you can almost hear her voice. And many of us are still living under the same precepts that she taught us when we were in grade school. Though we haven't heard her in years, we hadn't seen her, and going to a gravesite does not substitute or bring back even a portion of their presence. But you remember what they did for you. And there's nothing that anybody that can take away from you. You may lose your job. You may lose a spouse. Your children may not act right, but you always will remember the love of a mother. Amen. And the things that she taught you are still relevant to this day. And so John comes from the heart. He says, that's which we have heard, that's which we have seen, and that's which we have looked upon, we've touched with my hand. He's telling you he was real. Amen. It goes on in verse number 2. The life was manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That word life is zoe. Zoe, which means it's in the Greek, it's a both physical and spiritual, meaning that it has an eternal life to it. It has some present tense, but also a future existence. It's foreign to us because we lost it in the garden. We lost it when we ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so we it's foreign to us to understand, but the life that Jesus had was a life that was in the present, but also in the future. Verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that we too may have fellowship with us. Anybody who does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, I don't care how nice they are not in fellowship with you and I. And we must maintain a whole stronghold on that fact. We cannot bend the rules for those who we love. We cannot change the doctrine for God, for anybody else. We hold this truth, even if it convicts our own children, that God is light. The Bible says in verse number 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, I want you to see this. Many of us, we have a relationship with people, and we cater the relationship, and based on how we perceive them is how we want it to be. But that can be for a friend on the job. You only want to talk to them while the job, but as soon as 5 o'clock hits, don't talk to me. And that kind of relationship may exist with you and that person. But and you may have a relationship with your family, a relationship with your brother, that you can talk to him like you talk to nobody else. But the Bible says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When you have your relationship with God, you cannot change him to fit your ideal way of how you should have a relationship with God. In him is no darkness. So at no point can you ask for something that is sinful and expect God to bless you in it. We cater to, when there's nobody else to check us, we change things in our mind and precepts, and it says that God is going to bless me in this particular endeavor, although it is completely contradictory to the word of God. We'll do it when it comes to doctrine to save our family members. We'll do it when it comes for ourselves, when we ourselves are in the position of wrong. We'll deny it, especially when there's nobody around to check us. But the Bible says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You must understand that fact before we go forward. Because when you understand that I don't care how cool I may be with my perceived idea of my relationship with God, he is not cool with your sin. Your sin, as a matter of fact, is the very nature by which he separates himself from you. No matter how small you may perceive it, God is light, and in him is no darkness. So that sin that, okay, you know, no, I open the buildings. I close the buildings, I'm faithful, I give of my means, I sing praises to God, but this one thing I'm having trouble with, God is an understanding God, he's a loving God, he's a just God, he's going to forgive me in this. Allow me to have this one thing that I say again, the word of God says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The Bible goes on to say, if we say we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, what he is warning is of hypocrisy. For us to say that we have a relationship with God and still walk in darkness, we are hypocrites. Okay? That hypocritical relationship can be subtle in a sense that we allowed it to be for so long, we've forgotten how wrong it may be. There's people in our life who we don't even talk to now. There's relationships that we have closed years ago that we don't talk to them because that's how we deal with. If you don't get along with me, we're going to part ways and I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to look after you. Don't talk to me. I won't talk to you. And there's people still in our family that we no longer talk to because of some argument that happened back in 1985. Relationships broken. And we say we have fellowship with God. We say we have I love God, although I've never seen you, but I hate my brother. Now, this was what he was addressing in 1 John. Now, we can apply it to other things, but we will see and show that he's talking about the lack of love. And the lack of love that may be in your life, it can be given to your spouse. You cannot say you have fellowship with God and you hate your husband. You cannot say you have fellowship with God and you hate your wife. You cannot say you have fellowship with God and you hate your sister. You cannot say you have fellowship with God and you hate your brother. Now, your brother may be not somebody that's in the flesh. We have spiritual brothers. And if you work in the church long enough, it's going to be somebody that crosses you the wrong way. And it bothers you to the point that you come to the church house and you avoid talking to them because you know how they make you feel. But you still must love them. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And especially here in the household of faith. Now you know there's some things that may bother you. You know how wrong it is for me to hate my brother. But you'll come and sing praises to God. But you won't even ask for forgiveness nor say, you know what, I forgive you anyway to somebody here on earth. Now, I'm asking you to do that tonight because here it is, the end of the year, and we're getting ready to start a new year, and people have new year resolutions, but we'll keep the hate that was in 2015 and bring it on to 2017. We'll keep the hate and the hurt that's in our hearts, and that person may never ask for forgiveness. They may even have passed on and dead. And we're still angry with them. We'll go spit on their grave if there was nobody around to see us. We're upset. We're hurt. And they have justifiably, we have some reason to be upset, but we have no right to say we have a relationship with God. Amen. And have hatred in our heart. Amen. Chapter 2. The Bible says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, he is the propitiation, which is an offering of to appease and satisfy an angry and offended God. He is the propitiation. We have an advocate. Now, we understand that we may get it wrong. We may miss the mark when we sin, but Jesus is our advocate. And I think it may be spiritually criminal. To teach a lesson, to preach without mentioning Jesus. So many people in the denominational world, they'll fill their seats and not talk about Jesus because his life what doesn't necessarily exemplify success as we hold success. He was beaten. He was spat upon. And in his own clothes, he went to the cross. And we stay away from that. But it's criminal to not talk about the love of Jesus. He is an advocate for you and I. He goes to the Father on our behalf. And we must understand this. Now, he is the propitiation for our sins, that we no longer have to hold the pain that's in our heart. Now, go over to verse number 9. Verse number 9. Chapter 2, verse number 9. Anyone who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. Now, the Greek text for that word, it says, well, first, before we get to until now, we'll look at hate. It means to detest. We may change the semantics of how we feel about somebody, but it still means hate. however you frame it in your mind, to hate is the lack of love. Now here it is. We look at it, it says until now. That means just now, this instant, immediate present, at this present time. There may be somebody that you are hating right now that they pop, that when you see the word hate, they're the first person that pops in your mind. Right now, you are in darkness, according to the scripture. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because you and I myself, have been so angry at a person that I didn't want to see them ever again for the rest of my life. I wanted them to stay clear away from me. But how can I have fellowship with my God and I hate the person that is right here in front of me? Now, here it is, chapter 3, verse number 15. Chapter 3, 1 John, chapter 3, verse number 15. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. If I was to say one thing tonight, I only wanted to make one point, is that the hatred that is in your heart must be eradicated. They may never ask for forgiveness, but you ought to love them and forgive them so that you can receive the blessing of the Father. When we hear the trumpet sound, we can be the dead in Christ that rise first and see his face in peace and say, hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many. But that will be impeded. Your progress will be stopped simply because you had hatred for somebody who deserved your anger. That doesn't mean they didn't do wrong. That doesn't mean that they don't deserve to be in prison for what they have done. But it is on you as a child of God to forgive them. And you forgive them over again if they continue to do it. But you cannot say you have love in your heart or fellowship with God. You are a hypocrite. You are in denial. And tonight, as Christians, we're gonna get rid of that tonight. We're going to let it go. If you're here tonight and you stand in need of prayer, you can ask for prayer because the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous does great things. It availeth much. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. By believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confessing, repenting, confess, and be baptized in water for the remission of the sins. It said, men and brethren, when they found out that the same Jesus whom they crucified was both Lord and Christ, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you have been baptized and you've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years, God bless you. God bless you. But over those 40 years, somebody has made you mad. Somebody has done something. You still, even at the end of the sermon, still dealing with the idea, how can I forgive that? How can I forgive what they have done? If for nothing else, for your soul's salvation, you let it go. For your soul's salvation, you let it go. And you call them. They may hang up in your face. Just if they hang up in your face, you've tried. You can say, Lord, in the day of judgment, Lord, I tried, but they hung up in my face. And that will be, that should be enough. But if you get a chance to talk to them, don't go into the anger and bring back the past, because that can start the anger right all over again. Yeah. You say, you know what? I want to start fresh. I forgive you. I love you. This is my part in what I did wrong. And a lot of times we're upset for things and we had a major part that started the wrong. And there was only a reaction to our falling short or our errors. But we realize it's important to acknowledge what you've done wrong. And then you go and talk to them and say, you know what? I apologize for what I've done wrong. And I forgive you for yours. Let us start again anew, because I'm trying to make it to heaven. If you're here tonight, you stand up to the invitation, you can come as we together stand and sing for your encouragement.
I heard an old story of how a Savior came from glory, and how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretched life.